Before we ask Brother Clifford to exhort us, we're going to sing hymn 173. Perhaps we'll read the third verse. Nearer to thee would we venture, of thy truth more largely take, upon life diviner enter, into day more glorious break. Life eternal, which thy word by Jesus spake. Hymn 173. So it's now my pleasure to ask Brother Clifford to give us the word of exhortation.
Dear brethren and sisters, 3rd of January 2016 has arrived. And once again, we have come to the Sunday morning meeting. Not just another routine breaking of bread, we have come to seek refreshment from the Word, to rededicate ourselves to the service of our God, and primarily, especially this morning, to remember Jesus in the breaking of bread. I expect that many of us have greeted one another with the words, "May this be the year in which Jesus Christ returns." And the more troubled our lives have been, maybe for very private reasons, the more heartfelt will have been our expression of those words. And we do indeed pray, every one of us, without a doubt, that we will not still be in this mortal life when 2016 closes. For any and every one of us, Jesus may come at any moment, either by his long-promised return to earth, or maybe by our own falling asleep in death. For any of us, whether young or old, our probations may close at any time in the wisdom of God. Some brethren and sisters have been in the truth for 80 years. During the week, I read of a brother in the mid-60s, in 1965, I think, whose probation lasted just 2 days. But however long or short the remainder of our time in the truth may be, God will make sure that there will be opportunities to serve him, maybe in the public eye, as we say, maybe very privately, probably both. There will be challenges to our faith which will test our allegiance to Christ. There will be circumstances which will call for the exercise of patience and self-control. There will be times when we shall be grateful for the obvious overruling hand of God and the power of the angels on our behalf to protect, to guide, sometimes to warn us. In our Genesis reading this morning, we are in the company of two truly great men of God who walked with God and with whom we hope to share his kingdom. And so in Genesis chapter 5 and verse 21, we have read these words. Genesis 5 verse 21, "And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." What a marvellous testimony to be recorded in the Word of God. Enoch's life was consistent and righteous. He dedicated himself to the will of God in very difficult circumstances, for his life was a standing rebuke to the world of his day. And then in chapter 6, verse 8, we read, chapter 6, verse 8, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God." And then in verse 22, "Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he." Noah's character too was unique among a generation that had completely abandoned the way of righteousness. He warned them of the coming flood. He proved his own conviction of the certainty of it by preparing the ark, by which, as we read in the New Testament, he condemned the world of his day and became an heir of the righteousness that is by faith. Noah's life, like Enoch's life, was characterized by the fact that he walked with God. He was fully conscious of the reality of his Creator and conducted himself as though the Lord God was always visibly present. Well, these men of God knew, as we all know, that salvation is by God's way alone. For it is God's way and not any way of our devising that leads to the kingdom. And we do know, because Jesus says so, that God wants us to be in the kingdom. And it is because of this that we can be confident of arriving safely, provided we take due care never to stray off the path. So, this year, let's try to have more faith in God. Let's live accordingly, not necessarily by spectacular works, but by serving our brethren and sisters using whatever opportunities God provides. Let's perhaps be a little more careful to regard our brethren and sisters as brethren and sisters of Jesus, children of God. For our brethren and sisters are not just other people who happen to be travelling in the same direction as us. let's be all the more careful not to make things unnecessarily difficult for our brethren and sisters, for this is all part of walking with God. If we knew that at any moment Jesus might come into the meeting, how careful we would be about our behaviour towards one another, when in fact, as we really know, Jesus is in the meeting. He is here with us this morning, and indeed Jesus is with us all the time. If we knew that at any time, any day, we would receive a message to go and meet him, then how would that affect our daily behaviour anywhere and towards anyone, but especially in the ecclesia? We would be so circumspect, wouldn't we, about all the things we did, about everything we said, and we would keep a guard on the things we thought about. Well, that isn't just hypothetical, because we are going to receive a message any time to go and meet Jesus. But do we appreciate, as did Enoch and Noah, and above all as Jesus did, that we do live every moment in the presence of God? And are we always as conscious as perhaps we might be that we do, in fact, walk daily in the sight of the Lord God? Do we allow God's word to have its full effect on our everyday lives? Can it be seen that we are indeed a holy, that is, a separate people? If another brother or sister were to see us outside the meeting, unknown to us, what would they see? Would it be obvious to them that we allow the word of God to closely influence our lives? Things to think about. Well, let's now spend a few minutes in the Psalms and turn to the early Psalms, which we are now reading, and we begin with Psalm 1, which we read 2 days ago. Psalm 1 and verse 1. Wonderful words. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Well, there is another kind of walking, but this is not one to be commended. This is not walking in the way of God. As the psalmist exhorts us there, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. And then verse 6, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. And we can see the accuracy of those last words in the lives of Enoch and Noah, who did, as we have read, walk with God. This first psalm really sets before us a pattern to which we need to conform if we are going to see the truth for what it is, to receive it in grateful appreciation of what God and his Son have done for us. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. It's not only time to study, although that is important, of course. It is time to take delight, to enjoy reading God's word, to think upon it and be thankful for it. And that is something else that we ought to try to keep in mind as we go forward into this new year. And may we also be properly thankful for the freedom to have and to read the scriptures, for this freedom has not been and indeed is not granted to all of our brethren and sisters. Well, as you may know, this Psalm 1 has been described as the preface to the whole book of Psalms. And so as we read this book over the next several weeks, months, in fact, we shall find expression given to man's weakness and sin, confession of unworthiness. We shall read of the greatness of God, of God's mercy, of the wonders of his purpose, of the means of reconciliation and redemption. We shall be allowed to look into the innermost feelings of godly men, people who wrestled with temptations, as we do, people who met many of the same kinds of problems that we face or may yet have to face, men who experienced the emotions of human nature, doubts, fears, periods of elation. And surely in these Psalms, as we read them, we should be able to see and feel something of our own yearnings, desires, our own weaknesses. We shall see the way in which our hearts should be opened before God, the way in which we can find strength by putting our trust in him. And in many of these Psalms, we can see, as it were, right into the minds of men like David, obviously, also men like Enoch, like Jesus, like Noah, hopefully like ourselves. Now, David realized the great importance of allowing the Word of God to influence his daily life. Let's go to Psalm 17. Psalm 17, and of course it won't be long before we read this psalm in our daily readings. Psalm 17, verse 4, concerning the works of men, by the word of thy lips I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. David knew that God would always be ready to listen to him, verse 1, hear the right, O Lord, attend unto my cry, give ear unto my prayer that goeth not out of feigned lips. And verse 6, I have called upon thee, for thou wilt hear me, O God, incline thine ear unto me, and hear my speech. And David, knowing that he was walking before God, determined that he would not displease God by anything that he said. Verse 3, thou hast proved mine heart, thou hast visited me in the night, thou hast tried me and shalt find nothing. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. Well, David, being the godly man that he was, would certainly have realized that the things he thought about and the things he talked about would in a large measure determine the verdict at the judgment. And David knew that he did his best to meditate upon God's word. He knew and was able to be confident that he thought and spoke of profitable things. And because of this, David knew that he could look forward in confidence to resurrection, to eternal life. Verse 15, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Yes, David had every reason to be confident of being in the kingdom of God. I will behold thy face in righteousness. Centuries later, Jesus spoke similar words. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And it is meditation on the word of God and all that follows from it that plays such a large part in purifying our hearts and minds. Yes, David allowed the word of God to have its full effect on his life. In a later psalm, he wrote, whoso offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him that ordereth his conversation, his way of life, that is, aright, will I show the salvation of God. Well, we can't praise God sincerely if really we know that we're thinking not very nice thoughts about our brethren and sisters. We can't pray for God to help us if really we know that we neglect to apply his commandments in our daily life. And it's likely, human nature being as it is, that we won't really meditate upon God's word unless we train ourselves to do so. So let's make sure that we do that. If we knew that God was listening to our conversation, both when we come to the meeting and outside, how careful we would be about what we said. How we would take care to talk about uplifting and helpful things. Well, as we all know perfectly well, God does listen to our conversations. Paul wrote to Timothy, "Meditate on these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all." This meditation on the right things creates reverence for God, trust in him, a feeling of duty and of dedication, and all this will be reflected in what we say and what we do. Let's let the word of God to have its full influence in moulding our lives. In preparing for the coming of Jesus, it is so important that we allow the word to guide us, for only in this way will we be able to walk with God. Well, we see around us a world in turmoil, and we often tell each other that we live in exciting times, and it's right that we should be excited and enthused by the unfolding world scene as the nations are gathered to Armageddon. But we need to take care that the excitement of the times doesn't distract us from attention to our own personal way of life. For serving our Master doesn't consist solely in activity in ecclesial life, important as that is, which none of us would dispute. It starts really in the mind and heart. For example, looking back on 2015, can we honestly say that every day last year we did our readings? Did we make an effort each and every day to try to think about something we had read in the scriptures? Did we allow our minds to turn during the day on the things of God? Or were we too preoccupied with other things of momentary interest? I don't mean to imply that those sorts of things don't have any place at all, but we must concentrate first and foremost on the word and the things of God. Were we too busy, even with ecclesial work, to help our brethren and sisters or anyone come to that, perhaps by lending a listening ear? For that is also an important work for Jesus. And let's never think of it as a waste of time. And let it not be limited to our own particular friends in the meeting, or our own generation, or any other limited group. For in these ways too, we walk with God as Enoch did, as Noah did, as David did, as Jesus did, and one day, which we shall not know in advance, God will take us, as he took Enoch. Well, the Apostle Paul wrote, and you'll know this verse, "Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, think on these things. It is the way to godliness, and it is godliness, not just being busy, which God asks for. To this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word." And there's no need for us to compare ourselves with others and to feel guilty because we don't do exactly the same work as others do. Our real work, and we can all do this, is to believe that God does want us to be in the kingdom, and to live in the certainty that Jesus will return. Our real work is to live in such a way as to be constantly aware of God's presence. And the assurance that we are constantly before God ought to make us grateful that he cares so much about us. And may we reflect a similar care for our brethren and sisters. Let's be perhaps a little more careful not to ignore any of our brethren and sisters, for that leads to upset in the meeting and doesn't help to create an atmosphere of which Christ would approve. We all, every one of us, no matter how long a time or how short a time we've been in the truth, we all have a responsibility to contribute to the good and godly tone of the meeting. There will soon be a day of inspection. We call it the judgment. And we're all going to need very much mercy when we stand there before Christ. So let's be always ready to be called away to meet our Lord. And what is our state of mind as we contemplate the judgment? Are we cultivating this delight in meditation? Let's resolve as we go forward into this new year to meditate more on God's word, to put it into action. And let's not have too narrow an understanding of what we mean by action. Yes, soon Jesus will be here. It could be today. There will be a last breaking of bread, but we won't know in advance. Soon we will be summoned to meet the Son of God. And let us walk with God so that we may be confident of his favour. Let it be true of us, as David wrote, and we read the words at the end of Psalm 17, "As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness." And so we go forward into 2016. 3 days already are almost gone. And let us learn to rest more on the divine promise of favour, of sympathy, of forgiveness for those who are of a godly mind. For that Psalm 1 also says, "The Lord knoweth the way of the righteous." Let none of us have any doubt that Jesus is and will be with us all the way. God wants us to be in the kingdom. We can all be in the kingdom of God. And as we now remember in the breaking of bread and drinking of wine, the great work of Jesus Christ, who was the supreme example of walking with God, let us be very thankful for all that he has done for us. It was a tremendous sacrifice. Let us resolve to take full advantage of all the help that God has provided for us, both in his word, in his guidance of our lives, through our brethren and sisters. Let us remember the more that we are all children of God. And then we may look forward to the commendation and the welcome, to adopt the words that God spoke to Noah, "Come thou, for thee have I seen righteous before me."
Our memorial hymn is hymn 265. The bread and wine we take, O Lord, and in these emblems see thy body broke, thy blood outpoured, as we remember thee. Hymn 265. Our closing hymn this morning is hymn 227, and after the singing of this hymn, Brother Peter will close our meeting with prayer. Lead us, Heavenly Father, lead us o'er the world's tempestuous sea. Guard us, guide us, keep us, feed us, for we have no help but thee, yet possessing every blessing, if our God our Father be. Hymn 227.